Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 2709 Rock Springs Road in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stoniker. For information and service times, visit www.ksgc.church. And now, Gabe Stoniker.
We are going to look at a very glorious portion of Scripture today. Truly, a glorious portion of Scripture. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 will be our text. And Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Think about that. Is that not glorious? Is that not absolutely glorious? Just like when Moses was told to take his shoes off because he was standing on holy ground. That's what we have right here. Holy ground. This is holy ground. This is a moment between God. The fullness of God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Without man, and this is just an awesome and holy thing to look at and consider. The glory of the accomplishment of the Son is declared right here. The witness of the Spirit is declared right here. And the announcement of the Father is declared right here. Oh, the glory of hearing the Father say, "My beloved Son." You just think about that for a minute. Just try to enter into the heart of the Father towards His Son. My beloved Son. In those three words, we hear the love of the Father for Him. My beloved Son. We hear the confidence of the Father for Him. We hear the fact that the Son is the apple of the Father's eye. All of the apple of the Father's eye. The only apple of the Father's eye. And in the Father's announcement, we hear the glory of the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we just read. We just read the glory of the gospel concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to truly enter into that today. If you have never seen the glory of the gospel, if you wonder what is the gospel, I'm telling you, this is it. If it has ever been declared, this is it. This is straight from the mouth of God the Father. This is it. In this one sentence, God the Father declared the fullness of eternal salvation. The announcement of the Father is the gospel. The announcement of the Father is the message. It is the only message to preach. From the Father's announcement, we're going to find our outline this morning. This is our message today. This is our gospel. And this is the outline we're going to follow. Okay, in verse 17, he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That word beloved means, when you look up the word, this is what it means. Esteemed. Dear. It means favorite. This is my favorite son. It means worthy of love. This is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. That's the gospel. You can just put a period right there because that is the gospel. That is the message of the gospel. Our outline today has three points. The first point is, this is my beloved son. The second point is, in whom. And the third point is, I am well pleased. I'm well pleased. This is my beloved Son. And again, this is the Father speaking. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. All right, point number one. The Father loves the Son. The Father loves the Son. When we get to point number two, we're going to see that any sinner that the Father says He loves is only because of the Son. That's what we're going to see here in just a moment. The Father's love has been given to the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. He said this, He alone is my beloved. He is my beloved. The Father has made it very clear where His love lies and His favor lies. Sometimes people say, I'm sure you've heard this statement, and people mean well in saying it, but they'll make the statement, what does God even see in me? What could God possibly see in me? Well, I'll tell you this, He doesn't see anything in me. Not anything good, anyway. There is nothing good to see in any man or woman, because all have sinned. All are sin. All are ruined by sin. The eye of the Father is singled in on His Son. The eye of the Father is looking on Christ alone. The message to God's people is, look to Christ. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason that's the message is because that's what God the Father is doing. He is looking to Christ. God the Father looks to Christ. God the Father trusts Christ. He put the work in Christ's hands because He trusted Christ. All of God's people are looking to Christ. All of God's people are trusting Christ. Everything looks to Christ. He's the center of it all. So the eye of the Father is singled in on His beloved Son. He said, this is my beloved Son, my well-beloved, only worthy, favorite Son. He's my favorite. He's the only one worthy. Over in John chapter 3, this is what verse 35 says. It says, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into His hand. The Father loveth the Son, and has given all things, everything. Everything. The Father said all of it goes to Him. He's given all things into His hands. The Father said, I want Him to have it all. He gets it all. John chapter 5, verse 20, it says, for the Father loveth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. The Father loves the Son so much, He has said, the only way you can honor me is by honoring my Son. That's what the Father has said to all men and women. He said, if you don't honor Him, you can't honor me. You cannot honor God. You cannot honor God the Father. You cannot honor the Godhead without honoring Christ. Christ the Son. There was another time that God the Father spoke out loud. Our text in Matthew 3, God spoke out loud from heaven. Well, there was another time that the Father spoke out loud. And when He did, He said that very thing. If you'll turn with me to Matthew 17, it says in Matthew 17, verse 1, After 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with them. Now, Moses and Elijah had been gone for quite a while, many, many years. And they're talking with the Lord Jesus Christ about the decease that he should accomplish for his people. And when that was over, verse 4 says, Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, one for Elijah. Peter said, Lord, if you're okay with it, we'll honor you, and we'll honor Moses, and we'll honor Elijah. And God the Father cried out loud from glory, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that's going to be the cry when man tries to approach God honoring Christ and the law. And that's what men do. They want to honor Christ, and to that they want to honor the law, which is what Moses represents. And they want to honor the prophets, which is what Moses represents. And God the Father cried, absolutely not. No flesh is going to glory in the presence of my Son. No flesh. No other flesh but him alone. Verse 4, Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Oh, they were sore afraid. God the Father cried, No, you worship him. You're not going to worship him and Moses and Elijah. You're not going to worship him and the law and the prophets. You bow down to him alone. And when they heard that, the fear of the Lord came to them. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. They were so afraid. Verse 7 says, And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And that's what a sinner will see when God the Father reveals the glory of the gospel, the glory of the truth, the glory of the message to a sinner. They will see Christ alone. That's the desire of the Father for all of his children, that they might see and hear and bow down to and worship Christ alone. And if that's his desire, that's what's going to happen. He said, every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that my Son is Lord. My Son is Lord. In Isaiah 42, verse 1, he said, Behold my servant, my Son, whom I uphold, whom I have raised up, highly lifted up and exalted, mine elect, the one that I choose. He said, I've put my spirit, I've put my blessing, I have put my approval upon him. He is the one that's going to bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. And aren't we so thankful for that? I'm a Gentile. Any soul who's not a Jew is a Gentile. And that's the glory of the gospel. It's not just to Jew only, it's to Gentile too, out of this entire world. Thank God. And with that declaration, the Father said, In this work I've given him to do, he is not going to fail. He shall not fail. He is going to accomplish everything I sent him to do. So the Father said, This is my beloved Son. Look at him. Look to him. Hope in him. This is my beloved Son. Because the gospel, the good news of salvation, is only found in him. Look to him. It's only in him. In the Father's announcement concerning Christ, He revealed the gospel to us. He declared where salvation is found. He said, "This is my beloved Son." And then He said, here's point number two. He said, "In whom?" Oh, those two words. If we could just get a hold of those two words. I pray God will reveal this to us today. I pray He will reveal this to me and reveal this to you. I pray we'll get a hold of this. In whom? Oh, the depth of those two little words. In whom? That's where every blessing from the Father is found. Men and women hope come the end of their lives to receive a blessing from God. That's where every blessing is found. That's where all of God's love is found. In whom? It is all in whom. Romans 8 verse 1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ." In whom? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Why is that? How can that be? Why does being in Christ free sinners from condemnation? It's because verse 39 says, right here in Romans 8, verse 39 says, that's where the love of God is. Look at verse 38. It says, "I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come." Nothing. Verse 39 says, "Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." You ask people, where is God's love found? The average answer is everywhere. God's love is everywhere. It's found in everything. That is not so. The love of God is in one place. It's in Christ. All of God's love is in Christ. If we want the love of God, we must be in Christ, because that's where all of it is. It's all found in Him. All of God's love for His people is in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, what was the love of God for His people? That's where it is. It's in Christ. What was the love of God for His people? What did He do? What did that love cause Him to do? Well, look right here at Romans 8, verse 32. It says, "He that spared not His own Son." Can we enter into this? Have we seen that all of the love of God is in Jesus Christ the Son? The Father loves the Son and has committed all things to the Son and glorified the Son. Listen to this. "He that spared not His own Son." He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Who are the us all? Who did the Father deliver His own Son up for? The end of verse 28 says, "Them who are the called according to His purpose." Verse 29 says, it's the ones that He did foreknow before the foundation of the world. That means elect, choose. "Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate." It's every soul He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30 says, "Whom He did predestinate, them He also called." It's every soul that the Father has called by the Spirit of God. "And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified." That's who the us all are. Every soul that the Father chose to place in Christ and to give to Christ. The love of the Father for His people is found in the fact that He spared not His only begotten, only beloved Son for those people. God the Father placed all of His love and all of His mercy and all of His forgiveness in the sacrifice of His Son. And He said, that sacrifice is not going to be shed in vain. If a man is going to have life, he's going to have that life in and through the sacrifice of my Son. It's not going to be by a man's own works. Can we see how disrespectful and how offensive it is for man to not acknowledge the salvation that God supplies by sacrificing His own beloved Son, and man saying, well, I'll just make my own. I'll just produce my own and earn my own. Do we see what an offense that is? The Father said, it's not going to come through anything other than the sacrifice of my own Son. If a man or a woman is going to have eternal life, it must be by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not going to be by our works. It is not going to be by our own worthiness or goodness. It's going to be by the offering of the Son of God alone. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. This is my beloved Son, in whom, in Him, it's all in Him, nowhere else, no thing else, no one else. In whom? Over in Ephesians 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Paul said, that's who I'm writing to, those who are in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you. And peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's where it is. It's all in Christ. Verse 4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Do we see that? How He keeps coming around. He keeps qualifying this by saying it's in Christ. It is in Christ. Only in Christ. Verse 7, He said, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. It is all in Him. Our acceptance with the Father is all in Him, in the Son, in Christ. And God the Father said, in Him, everything that happens in Him, I am well pleased with it. That is good news. I'm telling you, that is good news. If it's in Him, the Father said, I will accept it. I will be well pleased with it. I want to tell you a true story. Hopefully I have time here in the rest of this program to get through this story. Back in the days of the Civil War, there was a Union soldier who got word that his mother was dying, and he wanted to go see her before she died. And he was in Washington and was hoping that he could receive a leave from the military to go see his mother. So he made his way to the White House, and he walked up to the front steps, and there were two guards standing by the door of the White House. And they wanted to know what his business was. What did he want? And he said, my mother is dying, and I want to go see her before she dies, and I'm hoping that I can receive a leave from President Lincoln to go see her. And they said, well, that's not possible. You can't. And he said, I'm begging you, would you please let me in? And they said, no, we're not going to let you in. And so, to make a long story short, he finally said to them, you don't understand. And they said to him, no, you don't understand. We're under orders that no one comes in this door, and you're not coming in. You're not authorized, and you're not coming in. Well, the man finally realized that his hope was lost. So he turned around and walked away, and he sat down on the steps, and he put his head in his hands, and he just started crying. And while he was sitting there, the story is told that a little boy walked by, and he saw this man crying. And he stared at him for a minute, and then he sat down next to him, and he asked him, he said, what's wrong, mister? And the man cry and said, "Son, you wouldn't understand." And the little boy said, "Well, tell me anyway. What is it?" He said, "No, son, you just wouldn't. This is too much for you." And he said, "Well, tell me." So the man explained to him, "My mother's dying, and I want to go see her, and the only chance I have is if President Lincoln would give me a leave to go see her, and I can't get in." And the little boy said, "Well, I'll take you in." He said, "Come on, get up, let's go." And the man said, "What?" The little boy said, "Come on." So they stood up and they turned around and walked right back up the steps of the White House. And they walked right through the front door, no questions asked. And they walked down a hall to another door where more guards were and walked right through that door, opened the door, and walked right into the Oval Office. And right there sitting at a desk was President Abraham Lincoln. And President Lincoln looked at that little boy and said, "What can I do for you, son?" And that little boy said, "Dad, this man needs to see you." And President Lincoln gave that man his leave, and he saw his mother. Now, do you see how that man, outside of the sun, there's no entrance in, there's no acceptance with God? You see this story in this picture? But in the sun, you know why that man got in to see President Lincoln? The sun. That's the only reason. It was all because of the sun. And this is the gospel. If there's going to be any entrance and any acceptance for any of us, it is only going to be in the sun. All because of him. Look to the sun. Cast yourself on the mercy of the sun. Hope in the sun. Because here is the declaration of the gospel from God to his people. "This is my beloved son. I love him. Whatever his heart's desire is, that's my heart's desire. This is my beloved son, in whom," in him, nowhere else, "in whom I am well pleased." I am so well pleased. I accept him. I accept all who are in him. You come to God in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will not be turned away. You will be accepted. May God cause us to come that way, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can call or write to the number and address on your screen or visit www.ksgc.church. Tune in at this same time next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.